Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning into Rhema Remnant Radio, a broadcast designed with the minister in mind. Stay tuned for a special message from Elder LaVon Breland.
Want to work for a kingdom organization? Have regular phone and internet access? Have a creative mind? Willing to give God your best? Congratulations! You are qualified to join our team. Urban Glory Campaigns is a faith-based corporation for global leadership. Our organization aims to minister to industries, communities, congregations, and cultures that do not look to the organization because of its religious background, but to the principles taught by our founder that reaches the very hearts of mankind regardless of religious, political or socioeconomic backgrounds. With deep-rooted convictions, our message is a provoker of change. Experience the glory.
Coming to your community is the Word and Power Packed Rhema Group University meeting. Call 641-715-3800, extension 91120. That's 641-715-3800, extension 91120 for more info.
Thank you for listening to USWAT Radio. This is Helena Olivia, President of Urban Glory Campaigns. Airing tonight is a special broadcast. We look forward to our audience expanding globally and the glorious gospel and doctrine of Christ continually stirred in the hearts of kingdom leaders across the globe. If you would like to partner with us, whether it's with a monthly or a one-time contribution, we appreciate your giving. Visit our website at www.urbanglorycampaigns.web.com and go to our partners page. That's www.urbanglorycampaigns.web.com and go to our partners page. Stay tuned for tonight's broadcast.
Good evening. Thank you for listening to the broadcast tonight. This is LaVon Breland, founder of Urban Glory Campaigns and a host of USWAT Radio. If you're listening by internet and you need to get off the internet for some reason, you can always dial 646-595-4877 and listen by way of phone. Again, that number is 646-595-4877. Let's look to the Father as we invite Him to assist us in the matter of tonight's lesson. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, knowing that this is the day that you have made. We rejoice and are glad. We thank you for another opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. It is the authority of your word that gives me insight and affords me the authority to make boldly the mysteries of the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus as I make it plain with clear articulation of speech and deliberation of thought. Holy Spirit, I ask you as educator and guide to speak systematically in tonight's lesson, and anoint every ear to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. And Father, in everything, you be glorified in the things that are accomplished and revealed tonight. It is in Jesus' name that we do pray and give you glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We are continuing our doctrinal studies, and tonight we are launching forth into the first class of doctrinal perception. Class number one, Understanding the Anatomy of Perception. Lesson 1, Essential Concepts to Studying Perception in Light of Doctrine. It is our continuing goal and mission to obtain the knowledge of God, to understand the will of God, which empowers us to exist in the authority of God, resolving to be led by the Spirit of God as declared in the written word of God. We discussed last week how divine development shapes the focus of our perception. So we said that divine development is set to give illumination, revelation, inspiration, importance, insights, and impressions on the finished work of the Lord Jesus allotted for mankind. Divine development phases our actions, thoughts, and beliefs to resolve the authority given to the Holy Spirit to reveal to us the truth we need to know concerning doctrine. And then divine development gives resolve to the pursuit of mankind to attain an eternal state of blessing on their life, which affords purpose, power, provisions, and passion. And we also discuss how divine development to man has a powerful manner that results in reliance upon God as it is needed to exist without error, and resorting to the grace of his righteousness as a means to perfecting the meaning of life. And then we discovered that divine development demands growth in intelligence, perception, persuasion of personalities, and personal discipline to achieve a healthy state of doctrine. So we determined that there are seven directives that we must purpose in our heart. First, we must dedicate ourselves to the sacred vocation of ministry which God has given us, and then discipline all spiritual dynamics. And then thirdly, we must depend on the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Fourthly, we must devote ourselves to details concerning development of faith. Fifthly, we want to distinguish priorities from perceptions. Sixth, we want to document concrete claims of belief, and then defend and declare divine standpoints and standards. And so one of the things that I want you to understand in studying perception is that perception is a power given by Father God that is used to enlighten mankind to the needed forms of transformation of true intellectual growth, spiritual development. Transformation of the inner man, the spirit controlling the soul to perceive the things of God, is what spiritual discernment and development achieves. It becomes vital to the believer existing superior cognitively. And I want you to keep in mind that cognitive development is a term given by psychologists to chart intellectual growth over time. Time spanning, which measures perception with physical growth to give explanations to changes taken into account based on environment, emotional stability, and expansive changes that forces impact. With the believer, we coin this process all under spiritual development. However, we don't compare things naturally. Of course, you know, in Corinthians it suggests that the natural man cannot obtain the things of God because they are spiritual. And it also hints to us comparing spiritual things with spiritual things, and that the Spirit of God searches not even the deep things of God. And so we have to come and allow God to reason and learn to reason with God as he has declared even in Isaiah. So we the believers coined this under all spiritual development. But this predominant factor is key, and that is Christ in us. Christ in us. The reality of who we are in Christ affords us the privilege to be superior in our spiritual development. So Christ is not indicative of Jesus' last name. And here's a good definition of Christ, and is the predominant factor: his lasting impression, his essence expressed that enables the believer to achieve a state of righteousness, grace by faith as a gift of God to experiencing the God kind of life. So in tonight's lesson, we want to deal with perception. Now let me give you a healthy definition of perception. Perception is a divine mechanism built within man for the spirit within man to reveal through interpretation, imprints, impressions, insights impacted by a system of absolutes, and to that assist and assess the reactions and actions within reality. Let me give that to you one more time. Perception is a divine mechanism built within man for the spirit within man to reveal through interpretation, imprints, impressions, insights impacted by a system of absolutes to assist and assess their reactions and actions within realities. Scriptural passages that validate the study of perception in light of doctrine. We need to understand that the scripture indicates that God himself had a doctrine. According to Deuteronomy 32, verse 2, John 7, 16 through 17, and 2 John 1, 9. So this is not something that we should take lightly. If God himself had a doctrine and Jesus devoted himself to fulfilling the doctrine of God, then we too, when we discuss doctrine, must take it in a matter that is reverent and sacred. So I want to give you some scriptural passages that validate the study of perception in light of doctrine. Of course, you know, perception can be used synonymously with the word understanding. And of course, you know, the scripture says, in everything get wisdom, but in all thy getting, get understanding. And so I often caution you to Luke 24:45, how when Jesus had ascended, after he had raised from the dead, and he had begun to appear himself, appear and reveal himself to his disciples and loved ones for 40 days after his death and burial and resurrection, he went to the a disclosed area with his disciples, and the scripture says he opened their understanding to understand. And so there is a granting of God that gives us the ability to understand or perceive things pertaining to the Spirit of God. And of course, you know, he was preparing them to leave the church. And of course, they did fulfill that position clearly. So we all benefit from their opening of understanding. And I believe that as we set forth to study doctrine, and because setting forth to study doctrine really is to obtain the knowledge of God, so that you can understand the will of God and be led exclusively by the Spirit of God as declared in the written word of God. So when we set forth to go forth in doctrine, those who seek him, the scripture says, they find him. And so in finding God, God opens up our understanding to perceive. Of course, you know, the scripture in John 3 illustrates this very factor vividly. Remember, the teacher or the master of Israel, rather, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night to discuss to him this great kingdom that Jesus had preached and demonstrated through the miraculous. And when he had seen these things, he had come to Jesus, and Jesus said, look, unless you are born of the water of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God, and that you must be born again. His perception was only fine-tuned to the natural realm. And so he said, how can a man enter into his mother's womb a second time being old? And of course he said, look, how is it that you're the master of Israel and you do not know these things? If I've spoken to you things that are natural, how can you attain to things that are supernatural? So there was an expectation that his perception, even as a Jewish leader at that time, should have been able to understand the unveiling of the kingdom of God. But you know, as many did not know, that did not occur. But look, in all of it, Jesus was able to render the message of redemption through this illustration. For God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So because of Nicodemus's perception and Jesus provoking him to expand his perception, the message of the gospel, glory to God, was revealed to us in its most simplest form, and that whosoever believeth on the Lord Jesus should not perish but have an everlasting life. And when we challenge our perspectives as ministers, and when we preach the gospel and allow the Holy Spirit to do the same work that Jesus did to those disciples, open their understanding to understand, especially as it pertains to developing standards through doctrine, we're going to see the church grow to another dimension we have never seen before. And so I want to give you concepts tonight on studying perception. Concepts on studying perception. Number one, perception reveals the state of psychological powers that prevail within personalities. Psychological powers are forces that mentalities pull, rely, and trust in to establish identity. These forces are seen in five primary areas: assumptions, beliefs, trust, dependencies, and consideration. All psychological functions are developed through observance. When attempting to locate personalities, psychological depth observes the following areas: physical health, emotional stability, sources of conviction, cultural constraints, and influencing factors. Now, let me give you a little bit of understanding on this particular point. When we talk about psychology, psyche is the root of psychology, and logic is the base root of it, which simply means that we study how the mind functions, how it relates, the factors of the mind, what impresses the mind, what imprints are left upon the mind, how the mind governs itself, how the mind changes, how the mind reacts, how the mind responds, how the mind communicates, and then we add a logic to it. We add a systematic study to that. So that's all psychological functions are. They are studies that have been observed over time that governs, that gives understanding on how the mind governs itself. So we're not trying to make this a psychology course, but a lot of us reject knowledge, and as a result of people rejecting knowledge, what, their children are destroyed. So I don't want you to think that even though this is a Bible study and we're dealing with the Word of God, which we're going to give you in just a brief moment, I don't want you to think for one moment that dealing with psychological issues and terms are irrelevant. Of course, you know, the scripture says it quite vividly in Romans 12:2, no longer conform to the ways of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what psychology does. It deals with how the mind deals with things. But we take it to another level by not only adding psychological terms, but allowing the Spirit of God to govern how we control this development, especially mentally. So all psychological functions are developed through observances, and when attempting to locate personalities, psychological depth can be observed through the following areas: physical health, emotional stability, sources of conviction, cultural constraints, and influencing factors. And those areas are so key to really dealing with people and finding out where they are. A lot of times you understand their mindset just by their physical state, and or emotional stability, or their sources of conviction, or their cultural constraints and influencing factors. So there is a such thing as a natural observation on perception, and then there's supernatural perception. And supernatural perception is set on bringing primary sources to light to establish true enhancements in five areas. Number one, the awareness of God, your total reliance toward God. Number two, the awakening basis of the reality of faith. Number three, the anticipation of expected fulfillment, hope for living. And then number four, the appreciation of the redemptive work of Christ. And then number five, the acknowledgement of reliance on the existence of the authority of grace. The acknowledgement of reliance on the existence of the authority of grace. So, psychological perception, reveals the state of psychological powers that prevail within personality. Let me give you the scriptures again that validate this study. Of course, you know Proverbs 1:7, Proverbs chapter 1 verses 1 through 7 gives you developing perception God's ways. Proverbs 14:6-8 teaches you perception as a great tool of discernment. Ecclesiastes 2:13-15 gives you perception affording equal opportunity. Mark 4:11-13 teaches you perception's limitations. John 12:16-29 talks about perception dilemmas. I really love talking about that one, but for time's sake I must go on. Galatians 2:7-10 deals with perception identifying qualities of authority and qualifications of authority. And then 1 John 3:16-19 talks about perception making us aware of the power and effect of God's love and involvement. I want you to pay attention, close attention, to Mark 4:11-13. And the words of Jesus is what I want you to understand as it pertains to perception. Of course, you know he tells his disciples, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God." And so we have to make certain that in our studying and understanding of the scripture that we do not take for granted the access, the sovereignty of God that is at work and that enables us to perform His will and His good pleasures. And so I want you to keep that in mind, because a lot of times people try to force the hand of God to comply to their standards. Well, no, He doesn't work against Himself. God is a God of order, and anything that is not done in His order is out of order. And so we must maintain His order by complying to His will. And that's why we preach, and I emphasize repetitively, to be a diligent doctrinal instructor, because in studying how He does things, how He communicates, what He teaches, then you will receive the intent of His heart, and then you can exist in the authority of His will. So, and of course, you know, His will is His word. If you can't believe what is written, Lord knows you won't be able to believe what is perceived. And perception is essential, and we've already understood, number one, that perception reveals the state of psychological powers that prevails within personalities. Number two, perception establishes the person's willingness to continue in the accepted forms of doctrines, which lets you know that if you're going to be continuing in accepted doctrines, you're going to have to resolve that you are doctrine, that you exist under doctrine. And like I said in one of the introduction lessons, we all comply to some form of doctrine, somebody's teaching, whether it be God or whether it be the devil. We all comply to somebody's doctrine. We need to make certain that our willingness always yields to God's will of God. And when doctrine is accepted, the person has created that doctrine to exist as a psychological force that influences its convictions, assumptions, beliefs, considerations. The will of man is the strongest force that shapes the perception. That is why man must work with Father God to understand how to approach and appropriate the will of man. And then God enables us to instinctively grasp and adapt to His will, according to Ephesians 1:9, Philippians 2:13, 2 Thessalonians 1:11. And so there are five areas that we should take into consideration that controls perception. Number one, our personal identity and vision. This is what perception establishes, our willingness. When we are willing to enable our perception, it's going to always give us things to control. Your perception controls your identity and your vision, how you think about yourself, what you look on yourself, what you think. And the Holy Spirit wants to supersede this by affording supernatural perception. But if you don't yield to the Spirit of God through your willingness to instinctively grasp the Lord's will, then you're not going to ascertain and obtain the perception needed to supersede the natural. Glory to God. But that is possible if you yield to the Spirit of God. Amen. So personal identity is an area that perception tries to control, and vision. And of course, you know, number two, occupational endeavors and outlooks. Number three, financial provision. Number four, family welfare. And number five, spiritual dedication and development. Now, depending on how focused you are and how spiritual you are, these priorities that perceptions attempt to control may be in different areas and qualities and categories, but they're all going to somehow find themselves around those five primary areas: personal identity and vision, occupational endeavors and outlook, financial provisions, family welfare, and spiritual dedication and development. Of course, it's the intent of God for you to come as close to the mark as possible, but as you know, as we all know, that sometimes it really is last on the list when it should be first, our spiritual dedication and development. But we can change that by voicing the importance of understanding perception, so that way when we go to teacher standards, they will not only be able to adapt to it based on assumptions, but they will actually perceive the intent of the content that we've created based on the impressions of being obedient to God's will. And you cannot negate the importance of just simply complying to what is written as God has decreed, in the manner in which He's decreed, that He's preserved over these years for us to know. Amen. So thirdly, perception confirms to the individual how to respond to clashes in the established system. And this is something that we ought to understand. Clashes are going to happen as you begin to develop and enhance your perception. But you need to understand what the sources of clashes are. Clashes are not always bad, but they are indicators of growth and even setbacks, perhaps reactions to clashes also are occasionally reviewed or nullified. And that's why we have to allow these limitations that we have adapted and created to be examined and identified occasionally. People tend to exist in what they are familiar with, and clashes may expose the flaws in your familiarity. And that's why the Lord really wants us to really deal with perception. Of course, let me give you one example. Some people have an unhealthy perception on women in ministry. Well, if we have the proper perspective on women in ministry, we would know that ministry, when it pertains to the kingdom of God and the work of God, have nothing to do with genders. Because in Christ, there's no male nor female, and Christ is the head of the church. And he governs his church, and if there's no males nor females in him, he's not going to set up an operation that brings distinctions between males and females. So we try to make a natural law that govern a household conform to a spiritual operation, and the two don't compute. Why? Because they're two different systems. And you have to make a decision. Am I going to uphold the word of God as it pertains to the things of God, being led exclusively by the Spirit of God based on the authority of God? Or am I going to go with what I have assumed and embraced based on familiarity? The church is not a household. I mean, I know we say we're the, be especially kind to the household of faith, and of course, you know, it's talking about appreciating people of God, but we don't run our church like a home, because the house structure and the church structure are totally different, and they need to stay in their proper boundaries. So that's just one of the things that clashes happen, because sometimes our perception prevents us from really achieving true doctrine. And a lot of times those clashes that we reject are set to identify and expose the flaws of our familiarity. The only way to identify whether or not a clash is divine or devilish is to concentrate on which sources and the impeding changes intends to reveal. So you need to look at intentions, asking relevant change questions to the changes that it demands. This is so key when it comes to embracing doctrine. You need to understand, okay, if I'm setting up some standards, what driving forces is provoking my perception to crash? And, of course, you can look at Acts chapter 10 when Peter was given a revelation of the meat of unclean animals to eat. And God said, don't call anything that I tell you to take and eat unclean, because I'm the one that's giving you, and there's nothing unclean in me. And then he said, look, I perceive, glory to God, that God is not a respecter of persons. Why? Because he was able to identify and allow that clash of the system through that painting of the picture in a revelatory phase to reveal to him what he needed to know to minister to the Gentiles, so that the people at Cornelius' house, glory to God, could be infused and filled with the Spirit of God on high, my God from Zion, so that way they could receive the word of the Lord and the Gentiles could receive the Holy Ghost, so he can go back to the Jews and say they received the same measure of the Spirit with the evidence we receive when we believe. So God is raising up a people. Hallelujah. He's raising up a people who will learn how to identify clashes so they can perceive not only naturally but supernaturally. Amen. I got to get back to the lesson. Confrontations of responses are revealed by trusted others and true introspection. The Holy Spirit has authority, the authority of God, to control this process. That is why that is the greatest form of the believer's advantage. And one day I'm going to tell you the story about the believer's advantage and how we are superior to the natural forms of this world, even in our perception. Fourthly, perception embraces spirituality. It gives contribution to cultural world enhancement, and God has always sent. I would refer you back to the scripture I gave you earlier in John chapter 12. This is another illustration where Jesus was performing and operating in the miraculous, glory to God. And the Pharisees had looked on the things and said, look, the whole world will follow this man because of the substance that he contains. And one of the things that the Lord wants to do through our perception as believers, when we emit and communicate doctrines based on the final authority of his word, is the power that it has to conform the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. So when we begin to operate in a divine perception, glory to God, and we begin to perceive in the manner in which God wants us to perceive, it's going to cause cultural contributions to happen. It's going to call enhancement, and that is the kingdom agenda. The Holy Spirit's indwelling enables the believer to instinctively supercharge perception with faith in God. Our faith becomes the atlas of our perception, making God's intentions realities. Cultures can shift in one act of compliance to the will of God. We see this vividly in the impact of disciples' devotions to the gospel after the ascension. The effect of God's Spirit at work within the life of the believer is limitless. And that's why we must determine to be led exclusively by the Spirit of God. And if you ever want to get an understanding of what the Holy Spirit was sent to do, to find out the attributes of the Spirit, you examine the fruits of the Spirit. Of course, the fruits are of the Spirit, so you don't emulate those characteristics and try to make them the spiritual fruit, but you emulate the Spirit and have the Spirit bring out the fruit that he has planted with the seeds of the Word of God that lives and abide with you forever. So when we get in contact with the Holy Spirit, he reveals to us his fruit. But you can also look at John 16 and 15 and 17, 15, 16, and 17, and find out what the roles, the responsibilities, and the rights of the Holy Spirit is as it pertains to your life. Because Jesus' authority was rendered to the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us unto truth. And there are five distinct facets to his role. Of course, you know, he's not going to testify of himself. He's going to testify of the Lord Jesus and show you things to come, and he's going to lead and guide you into all truth. And of course, you know, he's going to come in the same fashion that God would. God does everything in decency and in order. So the Holy Spirit is going to order your steps, because the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and God provides enlightenment. He delighteth in his way, glory to God. So perception shapes all forms of reality. That's fifthly, as we know it, which empowers our doctrine that is set to improve all things. So there are five things that we need to know about realities which will empower our doctrine. And this is why we study perception. Number one, realities are the authorities of somebody's words put into action. What you see and what you exist in is the releasing of people's words and someone complying to the words that they heard. And it's also the qualifier of faith. Realities are always, number two, subject to the reaction of evidence. Realities are always subject to the reaction of evidence. And then realities can always be altered by the influences of true authorities. They can always be altered. They can always be adjusted to conform to authority. So we need to get into the realm of authority versus the realm of just reacting. Glory to God. Fourthly, realities do not limit the power of God, but the perceptions that rule them do. Did you hear me? Realities do not limit the power of God, but the perceptions that rule them do. And then realities can be totally, totally delusional. And that's why we need to look deeper into things pertaining perception. Let me give you the definition of perception again, and we'll pick this up on the next lesson. Perception is a divine mechanism built within man for the spirit within man to reveal through interpretations, imprints, impressions, insight, impacted by a system of absolutes, to assist and assess their reactions and actions within reality. Let's supercharge our perception. More on the lesson. I trust that whatever you set your hands to do, you will do, because greater is he that's within you than he that is within the world. This is LaVon Breland, founder of Urban Glory Campaigns, host of Rhema Remnant Radio. Thank you for listening to tonight's broadcast. God bless you, and good night.